What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Matt Forte.
Mike Martz. Mike, we talk with Matt Forte once a week.
Oh, my God. I love Matt. I just love Matt.
What did you love about Matt?
Everything. There wasn't anything he couldn't do. I kept telling them, this guy's, he's not Marshall, but he does the same kind of things that Marshall can do. You know, I just remember right before we're playing Detroit at our place in the opener, and he takes a screen like 90 yards for a touchdown.
Out in the flat with a Kreutz block. It's 14 to the 20.
To the end zone. Touchdown.
Who was that lead blocker?
Olin Kreutz with a block.
The old veteran comes out there, cuts the defender off of his feet.
89 yards on the touchdown by Forte.
And a two-minute drill, start a two-minute drill. Who does that? Just running through tackles. He's a big guy with speed, and yet he was elusive. And he pounded, buddy. He just was such a fabulous player. I mean, he was at least 40 to 50% of our offense there. I mean, he just kept getting him the ball any way we could.
Yeah,
he won that game with a bolt throw down the sideline, caught it in the end zone at the end of the game.
Cutler backpedals, sets, launches for Forte. Diving catch, touchdown Bears. A dramatic catch by Matt Forte.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
He's important to our show, too. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Matt, what's up, man?
What's up, fellas?
It's fun to hear Mike Martz talking about you like that and raving about you. Because I remember being in this chair, one of these chairs, when Martz was coming here to work. And it was like, oh, you know what? You know what's kind of cool is that Forte can do some of the stuff that Marshall Faulk did. That's really a good fit. And then there he is singing the praises like that. Did you like being a back for Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Coach Martz had a great offense. It was reminiscent to what the Bears' offense is right now with how dynamic they have as a running game and passing game in tandem, but also how they can disguise the formations from run to pass and what they do. But love playing in his offense, and he always had an answer for something. You know, he was one of the only coordinators I would see that wouldn't sit up in the booth, and he would be on the sideline, like on the field, at field level. And obviously he had somebody up there that he was on the radio with, on the headset talking with. But it was interesting that that's how he would get his play calling experience down on field level.
I mean, it brings up an interesting question. I don't think I asked you this like while you were playing. When you come to the sideline, did you talk to your position coach more? Or in the case of having Martz down there, was that ever appropriate for you to go talk to the OC during a game?
Yeah, I mostly talked to my position coach.
Is it Tim Spencer?
Yeah, Tim Spencer for a long time. I also had I forget his name. He was actually Rodney Pete's brother, Skip Pete. That's who it was. Skip Pete had Skip Pete for a little bit, and a few other running back coaches. But for the longest tenure, had Coach Tim Spencer, who was really good. And yeah, when we come to the sideline, like you're engaging with your position coach mostly. But when Coach Marsh was on the sideline as well, he mostly was talking with the QBs and with the other position coaches to make sure everybody was on the same page. If I saw something that I thought that we could take advantage of, usually he would see it too, but I would go, you know, then and say, hey, Coach Marsh, I don't know if you're seeing this, but you know, on third and medium, they're playing 2-3 techniques, and we might be able to run a trap play, or we may be able to take them out on a screen or something like that. So when I saw something that maybe we weren't taking advantage of, I would go straight to the OC. But most of the time, your position coaches is getting a message from him anyway, and then you're talking to them.
Skip Pete is currently the running backs coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He is.
And his father, Willie Pete, is also Rodney Pete's father. He was a former running back and running backs coach. So thank you for recalling that name and making me realize just how many people in that family had become NFL coaches. That's amazing. Matt, what was that like watching that game for you on Sunday night with those two offenses going back and forth? Do you enjoy watching a game like that in the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a little bit frustrating just because of the back and forth. And, you know, when you're going for your team, you obviously want them to score, but you don't want the other team to score. But I was jumping around again at the first 15 seconds of the game as we get a pick six, you know, excited about that. But then going watching them go back and forth. And as this team, as we talk about week in and week out, how they never see themselves as out of a game, and they're always in it until the last, the very, very last second. And, you know, they actually had a few opportunities to put the game away. And as they go, I guess it's a lesson learned too, that as they, you know, march into the playoffs, that when they get into the red zone, to execute and to make the most of those opportunities, because sometimes against these high powered offenses on other teams, kicking a field goal to go ahead with, you know, not a lot of time left in the game, it doesn't always suffice and to be able to get you a win. So, you know, it was exciting to watch, obviously, back and forth in a high-scoring game. But as a Bears fan and the number one Bears fan, we can't give up, you know, 40-plus points and expect to win games that way, even though we have a high-powered offense ourselves as well.
The coach admitted he should have run the ball more on that field goal drive, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight is always 20/20 as well. And you think late in the game, that is probably an important a learning aspect, but also an important part that, you know, as play callers and coaches get more experience, that they learn as well. Because when you're going back and forth with another team that can score the ball at any time as well, you want to run the clock down. You want to run the ball to hold possession and also to give them less time to be on the field and to get another score. So that's just one of those review things where I'm guarantee he's watching film and going back and being nitpicky about his game and his play calling, which is what the good ones really do. And you know, you see that area right there, and you're like, man, we probably would have done better running the ball in those situations a little bit more.
Whenever I see some of these offenses, it's hard not, knowing that we're going to talk to you, hard to not imagine you in the offenses. And you and Christian McCaffrey are part of a very exclusive club of running backs, considering your dual threat nature. How much fun would you have had in the Kyle Shanahan offense that's being run?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's exciting to watch that as well, and to watch other players and how they are used and utilized. I see, you know, CMC motioning out into the slot, you know, running option routes and running slants and different things like that. And those are the things that I did with Coach Marks and with Adam Gase, which were fun. Being put in different positions, split out wide, being in the slot, running, you know, like Coach Marks talked about, bullets routes from the backfield. And you see those a lot in Kyle Shanahan's. But what I would have been most I guess excited about with Shanahan's offense is just that outside zone scheme and like the different things. Like, he's one of the rare ones that still uses a fullback instead of using like tight ends to come in and do fullback work, or, you know, do cut edge blocks on the end and stuff. He still uses you know, obviously you got a great
check.
Fullback in
Juszczyk,
but there was many times where he's confusing the defense, where Juszczyk is going in motion and he's sprinting, you know, to one side, and then he does the same motion and he goes to the backside and is cutting off the backside of defensive end. And man, when you run in zone plays with lead blocks and back blocks like that, it's hard for the defense to defend. But also as a running back, you're excited because those defenders have to declare pretty early. Like, they got to, you know, choose their gap, or they're going to fast flow or kind of stay stagnant, and then you kind of get a chance to, you know, be patient back there, set up your blocks, and then pick your, you know, make your decision of where you want to go.
Man, yeah, it's the highest snap.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
What percentage of any fullback in the NFL is their guy? They use it more than anybody. And it's got to free up CMC, doesn't it? Like, he knows he doesn't have to worry about one of the dudes who's coming. And once you know what that fullback's doing, then you, I mean, I keep thinking about you telling us in the studio a few weeks ago about just being able to trust your line and go second level. If you can trust your fullback too, then what are you looking, third level? I mean, like, what are you looking for if you know your fullback's going to get somebody too?
Yeah, you're looking second and third level, and when he's going, and you got a guy like that, you know he's gonna go cut the backside off, whether it's a defensive end or a linebacker or somebody's coming back around, and that he's a smart player too. It's just, I mean, it makes it so much easier for you, or takes the pressure off of you to have to deal with the lineman first, so that you can look downfield and you get those chunk plays, those 10, 15, 20 yard runs, those explosive plays that can turn into the 60, 70, you know, 80-yard touchdown kind of burst runs that you can have in those type of offense. So, yeah, when you got a guy who's lead blocking like that, and you don't have to worry about, man, is he going to get knocked back into me? Is he going to get cut in the hole and muddy up the hole? Is he going to miss the block where maybe he doesn't know? Because the best fullbacks are the ones who know how to run the ball, because they can – you know, maybe they're going to block the weak side linebacker, but his vision is so good, he can read where the defense is flowing, the defensive line, and peek around those blocks and be able to insert where you're going to go as a running back, and then you can cut off of his block. So you love fullbacks who can do that. And when I used to have a really good pulling guard who would do that type of stuff too, who had good vision, named Kyle Long. He would pull around on plays, and he would, you know, not just run up in there and, you know, hit somebody in the back that's on his own team. He'd run around and he would find the guy he was supposed to hit, and it would clear up the hole so clear for your boy. And I would, you know, go through there and loved it. Loved doing that.
Kyle Long's going to make his NFL booth debut this weekend.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. He's been working really hard.
Chiefs Raiders. He's the analyst for Chiefs Raiders on CBS. That's pretty damn
cool.
That's
a dope thing, and that's a smart move by them. Because he's really smart and he's passionate about the game.
He's entertaining. Happy for him. Agreed. Hey, Matt, I saw that this year the Bears have four dudes with 600 receiving yards. Okay? That's the first time that has happened, with four members of one Bears offense having 600 receiving yards or more since? Anybody?
2014.
You did 2014, and who were the dudes? Who were the four dudes on your team? You were one of them, Matt. Who were the others?
I would say me.
Yes.
Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall.
Yes.
And Martellus Bennett.
It was Earl Bennett.
Earl Bennett. Oh, the other Bennett.
Yeah. Oh no, you're right. It is Martellus Bennett. I'm an idiot. It's Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall, all with 700 receiving yards. That's the last time that has happened. And maybe I didn't give you guys enough credit. I said on Monday that, boy, that's the first time I ever remember a Bears team that felt like they could go blow for blow with one of the great offenses in the NFL. You could be in one of those 42-38 games. Did you guys feel like you could be in those games with the best offenses in the NFL at the time?
Yeah, definitely. We were in some of those games. We had some high-scoring games.
There were some problems in 2014 defensively.
Yeah. Yeah, there was plenty of, you know, sometimes these games run together, but, you know, there's plenty of times where I feel like I had 100-plus rushing yards and two receivers with 100 receiving yards, and we would almost have to go into overtime to win a game sometimes. But, yeah, we would definitely compete in that aspect that year. I think it was maybe the first year of, or maybe first or second year of Trestman being there, where you know, people, the defensive coordinators really couldn't get a beat on what we were doing, and they didn't really know. We had a young immersion receiver in Alshon, too.
Yeah.
And Martellus was dynamic, as big as he was, too.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule, Matt, in 2013. We got the 45-41 game against Washington. You got a 31-30 game against the Vikings.
Yeah, but look at the 14 season.
I don't want to.
Yeah, you do.
No, the back-to-back 50 burgers or the bye in between.
And Matt's right. He had 114 yards in that game against New England, and they lost 51-23. And then the next week, it was 55-14. Earlier in the season, Matt had 122 yards against Green Bay, and they lost 38-17.
But I'm going back to the vibes of the first Trestman year. He's right, like 38-31 for a Cleveland game that made you guys 8-6. Like, there are games there where you guys were hanging and putting up numbers in the 30s as needed. So I got to give you guys more credit in terms of that experience.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. I think during my time in the tenure that I was there, it was an interesting passing of the ships, if you want to say, with offense and defense. I got there, and we had locked down, shut down defense for the longest time with the Briggs, the Peanut Tillmans, the Mike Browns, Urlacher, Tommy Harris, like these guys. Like, they're giving up 17 points or less a game. And, you know, we're trying to just do our job as an offense, like, guys, we got to score more than 17 points. And, you know, we were successful in that aspect when defense was just shut down and locked down. And then it kind of changed where those guys either it was a lot of turnover where we lost a coach or we changed GMs, and then they get their own guys in. So then we have high-powered offense and then lackluster defense. And so now you see where it's kind of matching each other, where we're taking the ball away like they used to, but also they have a high-powered offense where a dynamic quarterback who can throw the ball down the field, some really good receivers, and some good backs that can run the ball.
What were you thinking back in 2010 as the season was coming to a close and you knew that you were going to be in the playoffs? What were the things that you wanted to prepare yourself for leading into the playoffs?
Well, first, I wanted to go to Green Bay and just end them there, because I knew if we did that, they wouldn't make the playoffs. And it came back to bite us in the butt. But we ended up getting that bye, how things ended up shaking out. We got a bye, and then we got to play at home. And we, you know, beat up on Seattle pretty good. And my mindset was going into that as like, look, if we get this home field advantage, and, you know, we love this kind of weather where we're playing, where you can run the ball, play tough defense, and just be, you know, kind of use your tight ends and your receivers and stuff in a way that is not, you're just methodically going down the field. We're not playing like we're indoor on turf or something like that. We're using the elements, and especially a lot of teams don't want to play out there late in January. So my mindset was like that, and it worked out for the most part, but, you know, obviously fell a little short when it came to the 2010 NFC Championship.
Matt, as always, we appreciate it. Have a wonderful New Year's Eve and a great start to the new year, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. It's been a pleasure in 2025. Looking forward to seeing y'all in 26.
Yeah, let's hope that there's a lot of early January visits from Matt Forte, because that means the Bears are still playing football.
And it has been a pleasure, Matt. We've learned a lot from you. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. God bless.
That is Matt Forte. There's some breaking news, and breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories.
So Trayvon Diggs, the former Pro Bowl cornerbacks, actually an all-pro cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys, has been claimed by the Green Bay Packers.
They could use the help. That is according to Fox Sports.
So what's interesting is that there's nothing wrong with Diggs as a player in terms of what he has been recently. The story that emerged is that after their game in Washington on Christmas, he wanted to stay, I guess it was on Saturday, right? He wanted to stay in Washington and spend time with his family. And he asked Brian Schottenheimer, who said no. And then he missed the flight.
So now I have to stay. Now you can't leave.
And a few days later, he got released. When he came back and he showed up, They apparently chose to release him.
The key card didn't work.
So that means he's healthy and he's ready to play, and Green Bay has claimed him. Schefter says it's a waiver claim, which means it wouldn't have even have reached the Bears.
Yeah.
Right? So it reaches the Packers first, who are lower in the standings. Packers claim him, and then there you go, bing, bang, boom. Either way, Trayvon Diggs might be a Packer and playing for them when the Bears play them, if that indeed is the first-round playoff game.
Yeah, he didn't... I mean, some of the reporting is that he didn't feel comfortable in what Eberflus was running with cover two because of some of his cover skills, that he didn't like what they were doing. We'll see where he lands, and we'll see if it makes a ripple, if it makes a difference for the teams. The Packers could definitely use him.
Well, now they've got him. And we'll see. I was intrigued by the idea of the Bears making a play. But, I mean, they've got guys, obviously, and it's late to make a change like that. But with the way that Jalen is struggling and the way that Tyreek is being used, and it's an interesting thing. We should talk more about the defense, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, later on in the show, we are going to talk more about the defense. And by later, I mean in the next segment.
It's good timing.
We're going to talk about it and talk about where they might be able to get better. And, I mean, we are expecting Kyler to return, right? Like, that's a thing for the playoffs, isn't it?
I don't know about that. I'm not holding on to that. You are?
I mean, isn't that what you kind of have to hold on to if you're them? That guy might be able to help you in the playoffs?
I do not believe that. I haven't heard. I mean, I guess they did say hopeful that he will return.
Yeah.
I guess they did say that. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy. I mean, we'll see an approximation of an injury report today, and we'll see an injury report tomorrow. Like, if he's not even back practicing until next week, I don't think you can play him in that first round game, can you? I mean, the way, I don't know if they can trust him. I mean, last time you thought he was going to go, he didn't go, and it burned you on game day. It
really burns you on game day. You better know. You better put him through the hardest physical test that you can on Friday so that you can make some choices. If that is the case, hopefully he's going to be all right. But let's talk about the Bears defense and some of their issues. And some of our experts had some thoughts on it as well. We'll do that next here on The Score.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.